What's up, guys? If you ever feel like you need to center, relax, and reconnect a little bit in this crazy modern world, this episode could really help you out. My guest is Jess Patra. She is a breathwork and life coach, a spiritual mentor, a healer, and has great insights into how breathwork, meditation in your own form can actually really help you to release some of the stuff holding you back, to reconnect, recenter, and start creating a life that you truly, truly love. Jess is also half Aussie, half Balinese, and has some great insights and stories about how Bali has become such a spiritual hub for us over here in Australia, especially people who are really into their personal development and the digital nomads who kind of travel over there and work as so many coaches do. So Jess really helped me as someone who is not skeptical, but not really into the whole spiritual side of things, to understand how it could be helpful in an approach that is not pushy, but inviting me to explore for myself. And I really appreciate when people do that. So if you are exploring breathwork, exploring your spiritual side, looking for something else to bring you more fulfillment and alignment in your day-to-day activities, your business, your life, your family, this episode is for you. Here she is, everyone, Jess Patra on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen, heading over to Melbourne today, where our incredible guest, Jess Patra, is joining us from. Jess is a spiritual mentor, a breathwork and life coach. She's a healer, she's a traveler, and lots of just has a life which looks calming, peaceful, and just very, very different to mine. So Jess, straight out of Melbourne today. So good to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Legendary. Selamat.
Yes, selamat pagi. It's morning.
Selamat
here.
Pagi, indeed. Yeah. That's something I learned this morning as well. You're half Balinese, half Australian. There's obviously a incredibly rich culture of Australians who go over to Bali for healing, for retreats, whether that's yoga, spirituality, meditation, breath work. What do you think it is about Bali that draws so many people there? And has it almost become, has it been a positive thing, or in your mind maybe kind of taken the shine off it a little bit, how many of us Aussies are going over there?
Oh, that's a big question to ask, first question. So I think, you know, for Australians, I think it's because it's so close, right?
Yeah.
It's so close for us to get there. It's really cheap. However, I know that when I traveled around the world and I would tell people I was half Balinese, you know, a lot of people, you know, further away, so in America and in Europe, they want to go to Bali. They like the thought of going to Bali is probably similar to a concept of us going to Hawaii, like, you know, this tropical island that just seems so beautiful and peaceful. So I think we're lucky that we can go there. It's so cheap to get there, and hence why there's so many Australians that go there. But I think that it's amazing. You know, I hear people say that they went to Bali with, you know, with their wife, and then they go back every year and they stay in the same hotel, and they love the Balinese people and they love the feeling and they love the culture. And so I think that for some Australians, that's what they tap into. They feel different when they go there. There's something, you know, if you've been to Bali and you look at the beautiful offerings that are around everywhere, and you can feel the energy in Bali. And if that feels peaceful for your soul and your body, then it's probably what's bringing more people there. I think now there's, you know, I don't want to say there's lots of Australians there. Yes, there is, but there's lots of everyone there now, yeah. Especially post COVID. And it's just this place to be. It's this place to be an expat. It's this place to work and live. So, you know, I'm grateful for all the people and all of the tourism that's now there, because Bali obviously did quieten down during that period, and when we need tourists.
Yeah.
But I just hope that those tourists that come, or those that choose to live in Bali, just really respect what we believe in, and respect, you know, our temples and our holy spaces, just like we would if we went to another country. You know, any one of us should be respecting, you know, you know, the locals' customs and places of worship and stuff. So there's been a few things that have happened over there where it's like, oh, wow, yeah. Why are you doing that? Yeah.
Totally. A lot of factors. It was a very generalized question, but I wanted to get your opinion as someone who spends a lot of time there, because we always see snapshots of these countries. I haven't been there in many years. And yeah, I didn't go for anything, anything spiritual. I went for noodles, beer, and mopeds, you know? And so, but I do try and hopefully be a decent tourist when I go to a country, but I do, I'm fascinated by how much time I see the coaching in people in the coaching industry spending in Bali. Clearly it's a very magical place, which is awesome. And were you were born in Australia though? Yeah.
Yes. I was born in Australia. Yeah.
Balinese mum.
No, dad.
A Balinese dad. Okay. So yeah. Interesting. So it was, when we were talking about what, in your Instagram name, and your website is Putu Jess Patra.
Yes.
And you're explaining that Putu is the firstborn Balinese child, and you've done some kind of swapping around where you put it in your name, but hanging on to that heritage. And you mentioned your mum, so I wrongly assumed that it was your Balinese mother. Awesome. And so you're a spiritual mentor, breathwork, life coach, healer. These are all words that I would now associate very much so with the Balinese community, right? That's where everyone seems to go. What came first for you? What was it? Was it time in Bali that led you towards that? Or was it you finding that which led you towards spending more time in Bali?
Well, Bali was always just, I suppose, a part of me. So my my dad lived in Melbourne with us until I was about 14. And so when he moved back to Bali full time, my brother and I would go back to Bali every year. You know, we would try to get there multiple times a year just to see dad. So that's the reason why I was always there and have that really deep connection. When I grew up, we would go to Bali and we would have ceremonies and do the different rituals that every other Balinese child would have done as well. So there was already this deep connection with my culture, with my ancestors, that that I suppose probably has formed the base of who I am. And then I suppose my spiritual path and the journey that unfolded just came, it did come after that. I didn't realize the link, you know, I didn't realize, oh, okay, you know, people really, you know, like you said, they love to go to Bali, or they feel this spiritual connection to Bali. And I just think I'm very grateful that I've got the best of both worlds. You know, I literally in Bali, in our culture, we believe in this equilibrium of life. So without black, there must be white. Without good, there must be bad. We have to live like that. And so, you know, I look at that because we also say, you know, there's this skala and this skala. So what you see in this world and what you see, what you can't see in another world, so in the spirit world. But I like to also translate that into my life because, you know, I've got the best of both worlds. I'm half Balinese, half Australian, and I get to be in Bali, but also, you know, get the richness and the culture and the education from Australia. So yeah, it's this duality that's just I'm so grateful for.
Great. It is a little bit like the fact that I'm from England, and when we play the cricket, I can go for whichever side wins.
But say to your English friends and family, though.
I moved here when I was 11, so I've got, you know, I've been here for 20 years now, and it's much more I'm much more Australian than I am English. Although I do get very nostalgic around times of sport or kind of when movies like Love Actually come out over Christmas time, you know, when you're getting into that stuff. That's great. I love it. And you're certainly, you got your roots, but I've actually got to thank you. You made my life very easy in researching you today, because you put up a post about like a week ago on Instagram with like all these things I might not know about you. So I've just got that post up as my research. I guess that's really, really current. You travel a lot. And you said that you traveled 18 countries in 18 months when you were 23. Few questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
One, why did you decide to do the entire You know, the huge trip. What led you to such an enormous trip? And second, did you, well, I suppose, were you into, let me go back a little bit, Jess. Was the trip about your current work? Was it about your current spirituality, breath work, and healing? Or did you discover that in what I'm sure was a very life-defining trip?
So I remember when I was a teenager and I went to the local travel agent and they had a world map and yeah. around the world, you know, you could do a round the world trip for quite a good price. Like, you know, I don't know how much it was now. And I remember staring at this and saying to friends, I remember the friends that were there, I am going to travel the world. And I just kept staring at this map and I was like, you know, I felt that I was going to be there. And then from there was this catalytic thing that happened that I was going to make it and I was going to go there. I was going to, you know, travel solo, meet people, meet family, meet friends along the way, but ultimately be traveling solo. So it was this drive for me. I knew that there was something, there was so much more than, you know, Melbourne. And I'd obviously been in Bali multiple times as well. So I knew there was so many, you know, other cultures out there that I just wanted to be a part of. So yeah, it was a dream, like a teenage, you know, early 20s dream that I just wanted to make reality. And I worked hard, you know, I really worked hard to get over there.
Yeah.
And I definitely wasn't, you know, I definitely had, you know, tapped into my spirituality, you know, earlier on in my teenage years, but I was definitely not doing that when I was, you know, in my early 20s, you know, I was
right. Yeah.
Traveling around the world and doing all sorts of things and having lots of fun, but it wasn't, it had nothing to do with that spiritual, you know, that spiritual path. Yeah. But
yeah,
it
great.
Was amazing. Everyone should do it. Everyone should travel as much as they can. And now I try to go to a new country each year just because why not? Why, you know, I always go back to Bali, of course. So yeah. I have that, but why not go to somewhere new, explore somewhere different?
Where's somewhere you've been that maybe we wouldn't expect that you've been to?
Maybe Turkey. I don't know. So back, yeah. So Turkey, it's so fascinating. Turkey was a country that I was kind of forced to go to with some friends that I was with in the Greek islands at the time.
Yeah.
And I had no inkling to go to Turkey, nothing at all. And I went to Turkey and it was one of the most beautiful countries that I've been to, and it was in my top three countries right now. I can still say that.
Wow.
Now I went to it was Turkey a long time ago. I don't know if much has changed, but there was just so many fascinating things to do there and to see, and the people are so incredible. So yeah, Turkey's one of my top three.
Yeah, Turkey's one of these places where from England, because Turkey's quite close. Everyone, you get a lot of people going over there for a real sort of Aussie Bali holiday, like a resort, cheap. You go to restaurants that serve English food, spend the whole time by the pool and like the beach club. But there's such like a immensely different culture from ours. And often when we travel, we can easily get stuck into the easy, comfortable, familiar thing of the hotel and the pool. And I'd imagine that on your trip, because when you're younger, you are slumming it a little more. You're in the cheaper places. You can't afford all the shuttles to and from the airport and everything. You see so much more of it. And I guess, do you feel like you've, I imagine on these trips coming from Melbourne, you do see a really, really broad spectrum of privilege, I guess, and diversity. Do you tap into, does it help you, I suppose, tap into a sense of gratitude or anything like that when you do reflect on some of the more impoverished countries you've visited and how happy some of these people are, but then you come home to an air-conditioned apartment in Melbourne?
Yeah, 100%. You know, and so one of my other top three countries is Peru, and I have a sponsor child. Well, I've actually had a couple of sponsor children in Peru. And the first time I went to Peru, I actually met my sponsor child, and it was incredible. And we got taken out with World Vision to their community, you know, their school, everything that World Vision had helped with. It was painted in orange, so you could see as you went through the community, you could see all these big orange buildings, and it helped you to understand what you were helping to give to the community. Now, I ended up going back to Peru maybe 10 years later, and my first sponsor child had grown up, and I was told that I had to let go of her, which I didn't want to let go of her, but I started sponsoring another little girl. And then I went back and I met this second little girl, and they actually organized for the first one, who was now in university, to come and meet me also. So I got to meet both of them and see, you know, especially the first one, because she was older and she was just so grateful for, you know, the chance to be given an opportunity to go to school, go to university, you know, and not have children at 16, like it was so very common, you know, over in countries like that. So I know that I'm privileged, and I definitely have tried to help. You know, I've got a sponsor child now in Nepal. Yeah, so I try and do as much as I can. And I also see, you know, living in Bali, like in Bali, in my home, we don't have we have cold water. We don't have hot water, you know, we don't have an aircon. It's just, we just don't have one. We don't need one. It's not a priority for the family. You know, if anything's a priority, it is the offerings that we put down in our temples for our ceremonies. So I think, you know, it's that best, that duality of the both worlds that, yeah, I can really appreciate where I come from, but try and give as much as I can when I go to other countries too.
Love that. Love that. Yeah, it definitely brings a, there's a funny kind of, I suppose, dichotomy of how you feel when you travel to countries like this, isn't there? Like when you go to somewhere and you feel, like you mentioned, Bali was super quiet over the pandemic period. And while in some senses you might feel like, and I certainly feel this, because now I've got little kids, right? When we go overseas, we stay in a hotel with a pool because that's where you go. You know, you've got to just five and a half hours in the pool every day and then just like scan the QR code to bring you a cocktail. And that's how we holiday now. And there's definitely a feeling of like, I know all these people are going home to, you know, extremely simple living conditions and then coming here and just attending to my every need in my air-conditioned two-story villa with white sheets and everything like that. And there's definitely a feeling of like, do I deserve this? This is odd. But also you do see the gratitude of these people saying, thank you for coming back. And as someone, you know, you're traveling heaps these days. I think you've put that together really well just then, you know, that there is a, you know, we are very privileged here, and being able to give back a little bit is awesome. And I think just being in tune with their culture and respectful of where you're at is huge. So thanks for that, Jess. Let's get into what you do, the spiritual coaching, the breath work, the healing, because something that always interests me as a marketer, as a coach, where my whole business revolves around helping people grow their businesses, make more money. In the spiritual realm, I often see people with a bit of a blockage around the commerce side of a business. Now, your marketing, your branding is phenomenal. I went onto your website, I did a quiz. I'm an explorer, which I'd love to get some free coaching off you in a minute. And instantly got like a really great follow-up email. You got like a link to your membership site, the Sacred Circle community. And I thought it was phenomenal. So where do you stand on, you know, the commerce side of, I suppose, monetizing healing? And why do you think there is such a blockage around that for so many people?
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. So I've been an entrepreneur for a very long time. I used to have an app development business. We used to make, you know, apps for ourselves, our company, and also for, you know, soulful entrepreneurs. So I worked closely with entrepreneurs that were from, I suppose, the spiritual kind of space, you could say, that wanted to create an app but didn't understand the money involved to create an app. It wasn't going to be $1,000. It was going to be a lot more than what they expected. So I definitely know the blockage that not just the spirituality, you know, industry, but there's probably a lot of you know, different industries that probably do have a block or don't understand their worth. I think it all comes down to worth. It's like knowing I actually deserve to be paid and to have an energy exchange. And if that energy exchange is money, I deserve to get that from you if I'm going to help, you know, elicit healing or coaching, you know, within your journey, because that's why you're here. So
cool.
I think it's that knowing, like I know that I deserve it. Whereas I think maybe I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of healing. I've done a lot of coaching with others. So maybe it is for those that aren't feeling like they're worth it, or there is this blockage, is to tap into like what else needs to be healed, because there's some wounding, there's some self-limiting belief that is stopping them from receiving. It's probably not just money. They're probably not receiving other things in their life as well. So yeah. I would suggest for any entrepreneur that, you know, coaching is a key component to growth for their business, not just a monetary, you know, growth, but growth at a personal and professional level as well.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that so many people get into personal development, have issues receiving, but because there's blockage and, you know, buried down, if you want to call it trauma there, and often without really knowing that's the reason they got into it in the first place, and then that's the thing that holds them back, because they need to do more of it, and you get into this spiral of just digging deeper and deeper, which is cool, and then eventually you find the thing that that really helps you out. So all right, so myself, and for context, I love speaking with people like you who have such a passion and a connection to things like, you know, spirit, healing, offerings at temples, that sort of thing, because I'm a ex personal developer, I suppose is the way you would say it. I used to do a lot of the stuff. Now I do none of the stuff. And the place my life is in now is, I would argue, insurmountably better than when I was doing all the stuff. And this isn't to say the stuff doesn't work, because I think I'm a much better person having done it. I say my personal development now comes from learning how to run a business and raise a family, because that's enough challenges and stuff on a daily basis, right? When I did your quiz on your website, puttojesspatra.com, I hope I got the yes. URL right there.
Yes.
It was kind of the quiz was. Was it What's Blocking Your Happiness? Was that the name of the quiz? Something like that?
Well, there's two quizzes, so I'm not sure which one you tapped into. So that there's one. The happiness quiz, and then there's a spiritual, you know, your spiritual path quiz. Where are you on your spiritual path?
I guess I did that one.
You must have done that one if you're an explorer. Yeah.
Yeah. So the explorer basically meant that I am starting to look into some of these topics. So I've got a mild interest in meditation, breath work. I love the Wim Hof stuff, more from a physical place than a spiritual place.
Yeah.
And I suppose where I'm getting at is I want to almost see some of your, not sales skills, but my sister is very religious, and she's always trying to get me along to church, right? And if you have any questions, ask your questions. And I'm like, I don't really have any questions. I'm pretty good. You know, I don't feel the need to add another thing into my life. So, Jess, as an advocate of breathwork, life coaching, spirituality, healing, and all the amazing stuff you do, for someone like myself who could easily be a perfect client for you, because I'm sure I'm extremely in need of everything you do, because I'm very hyped up, as I'm sure you found on this podcast today. why is this a good thing for me to explore when I already feel relatively centered, happy with where my life's at? What would be the huge benefits for a busy entrepreneur parent like me to explore breath work and dig further into my spirituality?
So, because you say that you're a parent, I then know that I'm sure you're a loving and caring parent.
Do my best.
And that you probably don't have that much time for yourself. So
very little.
Yes. And I think that's where a lot of parents then there's an element where you are there for your kids and that's that. But if you're not being the best version of yourself or continuing to develop as a person, then really you're not showing up to be the best husband, the best father, the best brother, the best friend. And so if your kids are at a certain age where you, because I know that there's ages, right, where there might be a bit more space. If they're at an age where you can do tag teams with your partner and say, okay, I actually need, 10 minutes of my day, or 10 minutes on a Wednesday, 20 minutes on a Thursday, whatever it is that you determine, I would then suggest I would say to you, why not? Why is it that you say that you're okay with it? Where you're at with your spirituality or your practices and your rituals, but why can't you go deeper and why can't you give yourself permission to develop further? So I would probably let that you or the person just really sit with that, because it's not something you want to push, because anything that is, you should do breath work or you should meditate or you should go for a mindful walk. Anytime that becomes a chore or something forced, then it's not something fun, and there's not going to be that real desire or need to change that, your frame of mind around that and your mindset. So more about kind of planting a seed with someone and then go, okay, you decide now, because you are in control of your life. So that might not be the best, sales skills, but it's also, it's empowering you to what do you want? Do you want to be a better version for yourself and for your family?
100%. I love it. I love it. And should is a very tricky word. Should is a very, very tricky word and I feel like sometimes you get into that when you first start exploring personal development, you kind of get guilt tripped a little bit at the surface level by these, 30-second clips of someone talking on a podcast about the way you need to do it.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean? Like the people who just their entire day seems to be a morning routine, and some unattainable morning routine, or the opposite is like the hustle porn of like the guys who just, I go to bed at 11, I get up at 2 and I do 4 workouts and make $80,000 a day, that sort of thing. But the way you put it there is super cool. And I think throwing the question back on the prospect of why not is really great. Because if they can come up with a really good answer for that, amazing. If they can't, then it reminds me a little bit of when we did NLP and we kind of, don't know if you've ever done it, but you kind of, the concept is that people already have the answers in their head a little bit and you just have to help them dig it out. And And I also think that, it's a fantastic sales skill to say, maybe this isn't the thing for you right now as well.
Yeah. And it's really important to instill that. So, I think I've had people come and ask me, is it bad that I don't meditate every day? And because you're right there, whether it's on a podcast or something they read, there's this innate thing that people are talking about. Well, if you don't meditate every day, then you're not really spiritual or you haven't gone as deep. But meditation looks different for everyone, because your form of meditation might be movement. So it might be dance, dancing by yourself in a room with loud music, or it might be yoga. It might be, walking, going for a walk in nature without your phone, without your dog, without your family, and just being alone and admiring the beauty of nature. Yeah. Or it might be sitting in silence, for 20 minutes, breathing, doing breathing exercises. Meditation, it can look different for everyone. And that's why when there's people pushing what their belief, right, what's worked for them, the thing is, we're all different and it's not going to work for everyone, and that we need to find what it is that works for us, but know that it will change because we change. Our environments change, our health changes, life changes. Why can't we change our daily rituals, and why would that mean we're any less spiritual?
Totally. And if that is the desire to feel like you are connecting or exploring the spirituality thing, then that's really great to accept that everyone is different. There's a different way for everyone. Something that excited me about looking through your site was that you've done some work with Insight Timer, the app.
Yes. Now,
I used to use that all the time when I was kind of trying to meditate. I used to always use Insight Timer, and I thought that was great because there was stuff going from 30 seconds to half an hour, or whatever on there, and I could manage about 4 minutes really well and feel great after 4 minutes. And I believe they're a Sydney-based app. Is that right?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I know that they're very international, obviously, okay. Now because there's
right.
There's lots of different people, you know, putting meditations up there from all over the world. But I do like, you know, what you said. They have meditations that are 30-second meditations or 30-minute meditations, and you just tap into yeah. what feels right for you.
Well, last night, for example, on your kind of the broad spectrum of what can be meditative and healing for you, we had just a real... I've got 3-year-old twins, by the way, since you mentioned the kid thing.
Yeah.
3-year-old twin girls, which is very interesting sometimes. And we just had like a real complete, just out of the blue, super difficult time putting them to bed last night. And when you said, if you can, you know, what was the word? Swap your partner. At one point, my wife just goes, "You deal with it. I'm going for a walk." And I was like, "Do you want your..." I literally said, "Would you like your headphones?" She goes, "Nope." And she left her phone and headphones everywhere and just bailed for like half an hour.
Love that.
I love it.
Love that.
And comes back awesome, calm. Mum, I'm the same with if I can get myself to the gym or go outside and do 20 minutes of yoga or jump rope, that sort of thing. Cold shower, really great little meditation for me, and it's almost just a little reset. So the breath work thing is something I haven't dug into too much though, except for Wim Hof stuff, which for me feels like more of a physical style of breath work than the sort of release style of breath work, but helped me out really well. You're in breath work. What are your thoughts on his work?
Oh, I love Wim Hof's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I did it here in Melbourne. And, you know, I think that the because there's obviously the breathing and then there's the ice bath, and that's the two that come together. Whereas if you were just to take the ice bath away and you were to really tap into that breath, there is an element of, you know, going deeper, you know, the longer that you're holding the breath as well. So, and the longer that you're actually doing those exercises, depending on the teacher and
yeah.
how they guide you. So I love, and I say this to everyone, try all of the breathwork styles, because there's so many of them out there. So many people are coming up with their own style, or styles are exactly the same, but they're called something different. But
yeah.
if there was one suggestion I have, is that go and explore all of them, because they're all there for everybody. And there's, you know, certain styles that you probably need at certain stages of your life. You know, same with the Wim Hof. You know, if you're going to Wim Hof, you also want that, you know, the cold bath. That's a 2-in-1, you know, component for his style. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone, the thought of an ice bath, that freaks them out, but it is a very powerful tool.
And when you say there's so many different styles of breath work, because I am just learning here as well, are they different styles for different outcomes?
I think so. So, you know, if you think about breath work as a whole, you know, even just calming your breath and, you know, regulating your nervous system, there's different styles, there's different types of breath work that you can do to, you know, bring down anxiety, some that can help with sleep. For my particular style of breath work, it is about going to, I suppose, altered states of consciousness, which are a lot of them, those that are, you know, very controlled, conscious, connected breathing.
Wow.
So there's definitely elements, you know, some people come to my events and they think that we're just going to sit there and breathe and meditate. And then when they realize that the style of breath that I do, it's this very like slow and heart opening style that's connected, but it really gets them to this peak place of clarity and release. They walk out of there. Some of them may have just really shed, you know, 10 years off of trauma. You know, I have older men that have, you know, burst into tears, and, you know, people that are, have, you know, felt pure bliss from that experience. So it really does, the breath will take you to where you need to go. And it is definitely a medicine that we can all tap into. So, I think that, you know, definitely delve into different breathwork styles and see what comes up for you.
I do love it. Yeah. And what you just said then reminded me, I used to have a client, Melbourne based guy as well. You might know him, Ryan Magic. I don't know if you know Ryan. No. He's a ex kind of business coach, still business coach, but very much into this more spiritual side of it. And when we were working together, he did a breathwork event in Melbourne. And then he sent me the footage of it to make some ads out of. And there's people like screaming and crying on the floor. I thought, we can't use this, dude. This is full on. And I had no idea that it was such a powerful and sort of, I suppose, transformative experience. I wrongly assumed breath work is a centering, calming practice. And I'm sure it is at some points. But the fact that breath, and this is probably a conversation that could go on for hours, but the fact that breath can release so much emotion in a person relatively quickly as well was astounding to me. So I don't know if it's science or something you can explain, but what is it that allows breath to connect to emotion and bring out past traumas? Because that seemed bonkers and incredibly impressive to me.
Yeah, and I think that it depends on the style as well. So it depends on the style of breath work. And you know, and I'll probably want to make sure that people don't just then go, you know, sit at home and then try and do these breathwork styles at home, because although it's good, I know that there's lots of YouTube videos out there. If you're wanting to go deeper, or if you're doing a breathwork style that is quite fast, you know, you can essentially start to, I suppose, hyperventilate and then, you know, feel all these emotions and these tingling sensations and maybe get tetany, the chlorine sensation happen. And that can actually freak people out. I think that especially those that come to a session the first time, and if they're not explained what's going to happen and they start to feel these tingling sensations, or they're like, oh, my leg's like twitching. Why is my leg twitching? Or they start to, you know, get tears come to their eyes. That can really be quite a, you know, a confronting experience for some. I think that it really depends on the setting. It depends on the teachers. It depends on the breathwork style. I make sure that there's a very sacred space that is really a held container. I explain the breath style, what it does to the body, what it does to the mind. And it is the power of the breath. It also is, you know, the music that I put on that helps them to, you know, feel calmness, feel centered, you know, tap back into their heart space, whatever it is that the music is presenting to them. And it's almost like this coming home to yourself. I know that sounds really woo-woo or strange, but it's almost like we spend so much time rushing through life that we don't have the time to really go in. And when we start to really slow down the breath, and it's really conscious, it's really connected, we start to come inwards and remember who we are, you know, remember who we always have been, right? Because we've always been that person, but we've just got this shield or this armor or this, you know, got to rush through life thing that happens.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this clarity that comes from the breathwork session can really help people remember who they are, or to heal parts of themselves. You know, there might be a song that comes on, and this is just in my sessions, but it might come on and it might talk about, you know, letting go and releasing. And so there might be something in that person's life that's happening where they know, oh, I need to let go of this person because they're not good for me and I know it, and why can't I do it? And it's almost like the breath is enabling them to seek those answers within, because they've given themselves that permission to go there.
Got it.
Yeah. So I could talk about breathwork all day. So I'm not sure if that answered your question, but yeah, for anyone that's listening, just if you see breathwork come up, go and explore. Mm. And, you know, and what I would say is, if at one point during the session you're not feeling comfortable, and, you know, if you're in a group setting, it's okay for you to stop and slow down the breath if you need to. because I've had some people come to my sessions and they said that they felt really quite, it was really quite confronting for them because they didn't have anyone to really hold space for them because they were in a room with 50, right. 60 people and they were going through all this stuff. And then the person next to them was like, you know, what you said in that video, they were going through stuff. And so then they were trying to process what was happening for them, but then trying not to tap into whatever was happening next to them. So I think that if you do feel that way, let the person that's guiding you know, hey, can you come here? I'm going through something. You know, they might tell you to slow down the breath. They might say to you, you know, can we breathe? Can you breathe through that? Why is that coming up for you? And question that for you. But at least if they're with you, yeah, they can then hold space and hopefully get you to where you need to go.
I love it. I love it. It's fascinating, fascinating topic. Something that I really love the sound of it. And I've definitely, it's just one of a multitude of things that I have dabbled in and never given enough attention to and kind of always wish I had given more of it to. It's always on my list, like every book on that shelf over there, you know, always on the list of things to do. But no, that explained it super well, Jess. Thank you so much. Gets people in such a deep state of almost focus on the breath, changes their physical state, which in turn allows them to, because of your guide, allow them to access things that they probably wouldn't have the time or focus to get to had they not been in the room.
Yes.
Probably. Okay. Hectic. We all need to slow down every now and then, I believe, in this world where we are so obsessed with doing more and getting more. And people like yourself, Jess, are reminding us of that. And while you are absolutely getting after it and living what looks like an incredibly fun life, you're very, very calm and insightful person to talk to. I really recommend checking out your Instagram account because it's the same thing. All the music is so calm. It's just a lovely, you know, lovely place to be. And I cannot thank you enough for your conversation today. And I'm sure once again that the Sacred Circle community is somewhere people would very much benefit from hanging out.
Yes, please come out, hang out at the Sacred Circle community where we have a healing haven session once a month. So it might be a breathwork session, it might be a sound healing. There's masterclasses on different topics, mindset, you know, motivation, you know, different spiritual concepts as well. So it's all about community. I think that, you know, it's good to heal together and to be together and to be with like-minded people. So if anyone's listening that really wants to tap into that, you know, come and join us. We'd love to have you.
I love that. I love that. It looks like a great fun place. You got some incredible reviews and testimonials as well. And so, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. And happy Balinese birthday for quite recently, I believe.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, my Balinese birthday. Love going to Bali when that's happening.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Really appreciate you, Jess, Patra. Thank you so much for being here. Anyone listening today, I love you so much for that. I'll be back next week with one or two episodes more of Coaches to the Moon. Till then, thanks for listening. Much love and peace out. Hey, guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.